This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a sunny morning here on Education Matters. I'm Bob Haggerty. Kind of an interesting day for us today. We're going to start off talking about the student loans and potential problems that individuals are going to encounter. And it's been really tough. I haven't been able to find people that want to talk on the air about it. But we're going to try to give you an overall idea of what's going on and how to be able to navigate the situation as a whole. Then we're going to be going to Kurt Klingenmeyer. He's owner of Black Belt Karate Studio and Championship Martial Arts here in Kenosha, in Racine, and in Oak Creek. Well, where does that fit in? Well, Kurt is a former teacher. I don't think you ever stop being a former a teacher. But there's a couple of things to be able to talk about. And last year I did this. It's an important subject to me, and that is athletics and the ability to learn, but also something that his establishments are doing, and that is fundraising, and at a pretty large scale for schools. And we'll be able to talk about how he's doing that and how maybe others can be able to jump on that bandwagon and be able to help their local schools. But before we do that, let's talk about student loans. Student loans, a huge topic this week, because the federal government has signed all the documents to be able to allow individuals, I should say the government, to be able to go in and start major collection practices against anyone who is either delinquent or has defaulted on student loans. Now, what does this mean? We'll start out with a default. If you are more than 180 days you have since or in the rears, you are in default on your student loan. Late is 1 to 179 days. It's important that you start to look at this and to realize how important that gap is. That one day from 179 to 180 when a loan goes into default is a huge situation from the standpoint that individuals, there's a higher degree of collection on something that is defaulted. Let's give you, this is amazing to me, some statistics to be able to start with. As of this week, we are told that there are 5 million student loan holders, people that have a student loan, that as of today are in default. Within the next 180 days, that is by the end of the year, the government believes that there will be another 5 million that will be in default, taking it to 10 million individuals that are in default at the same time. Now remember, default, more than 180 days since they made a payment, and a higher level of collection. They're coming after you. That's the way to be able to put it. And another 4 million in a state of delinquency. Wow. The reason I'm bringing this up is because we had a 5-year period. Remember, starting with COVID, President Trump postponed all student loan payments and took interest to zero. This was not a bad thing. In fact, honestly, it was probably a needed thing because so many people lost their jobs. If you weren't, what is the term that they used? If it wasn't a necessary job, you were in a situation where they didn't want you to work. They closed down, the government closed down where you worked. So people didn't have money coming in to be able to make that payment. However, over that five-year period, when people went back to work, until October of 2023, there was no interest and there wasn't a payment necessary, but you could make them. So you could pay off your loan or a portion of your loan interest-free during that three-year period from March of 2020 to October of 2023. Unfortunately, less than 5% of individuals that had student loans took advantage of that. And there's a number of reasons. And I'll tell you what I think is the biggest reason. In my opinion, the biggest reason was that they were told that loans were going to be forgiven. And now we're moving into the Biden administration. He ran as that being part of the platform. He came out and said, there's going to be no student loans. Everybody's going to have their student loans forgiven, and that will allow them to be better financially. They took him for his word, and it left them in a very bad situation. Why? Because they moved on. When they bought houses, they bought cars, they took trips. By the way, one of the big things still going on are trips overseas. Money was spent in a different way than what would have been spent if they weren't told that everything was going to be forgiven. Then, summer 2024, the Supreme Court came out and said, guess what, guys? It's not happening. We rule he doesn't have the authority to do that, and as such, you are not going to be forgiven. Now, there were small groups of individuals that did get the benefit of loan forgiveness. Most of those individuals came from schools that, to put it bluntly, were a ripoff. I mean, that's the way the government explained it. They were fraudulent, and so they were able to be forgiven. Or they had been paying more than 20 years, or they had been working in a field that would be considered low-income, volunteer nurses, doctors, paramedics, in areas that were or teachers that would help society. Not as many people as what you think qualified. So why am I bringing in and talking about this? Because now that they're able to start to collect, this is going to be a major focus of the Trump administration. One of the largest portfolios of income that the government has is student loans. By the way, find this number for you. The average student loan rate, 6.53% interest rate. A Parent PLUS loan, what is that? Parent PLUS loan is when Johnny or Julie are going to go to college and they don't have enough money and they can't borrow on student loans enough money. So mom and dad say, hey, we'll sign, and that way you can go. That's 8.08 to 9.08%. And then there's something called a private student loan. Private student loans are primarily for graduate school, and they're anywhere from 3.5%, not a bad rate. By the way, I don't know anyone, and I know a lot of grad students, that got 3.5% to 17% interest, depending on an individual's credit score. Now, there's a couple of different types of loans. There's a subsidized student loan. That's when the government pays your interest, or they don't charge you interest, until you are no longer a full-time student or until you graduate, and then they give you 6 months to get on your feet. And then there's an unsubsidized student loan. That is where you start to pay interest day one, and that interest compounds. And that's important. You know, Einstein said the most important thing in the world as far as the laws of physics is compound interest. Because it will either help you or it will bury you. Plain and simple. So now you have gone through that six-month grace period, and you have to start paying that loan off. By the way, the national average for a student loan payment, $536 per month. The average student loan at $40,000 is $527 a month. And the average number of years to be able to repay that student loan is 20 years. Big deal, because during that 20-year period, a lot of finances change. Or 20 years, can be 30 years, can be more than that. And I know that there's a lot of people listening and saying, I paid my student loan off. Why wouldn't these people pay that? I paid my student loan off. My wife paid her student loan off. We paid her graduate student loans off. I was lucky enough. Grad school was paid by my employer. And then I owed them 1 year. I owed them 2 years for every one they sent me to grad school. And at that point, then I got a scholarship for the second half of things. So I was very fortunate in that. But my wife, we had to pay for her. So why? Why is this a big deal? And I'll go back to that five-year period. And a life moving on that can change absolutely everything. You know, you want to buy a house. They didn't take into consideration your student loan payment because it wasn't being paid at the time. Now you may not be able to pay it. If you don't pay your student loans, what happens? Well, number one, it affects your credit score instantly. And it is a huge deal. Credit scores are a huge deal in general, and we'll talk about that another time. But credit scores going down by 100 or 200 points can take place with a default on your student loan. They can take your tax returns. So in other words, you work all year, you get a tax refund, you go and you file your taxes, you get a letter in the mail saying, you didn't pay your student loans. Guess what? We're going to keep that. They can take your Social Security, part of it. What do I mean? Because you're going, hey, Bob, you don't get Social Security until, you know, 67, 68, 69, depending on when you take it. Nobody's paying back their student loans. Yeah, they are. Two things. Number one, a person going back to school later in life. And number two, remember I talked about that Parent PLUS loan? You could have been 50 and Johnny went to college. You helped Johnny graduate from college, or worse yet, they didn't graduate from college. And at that point now, Johnny can't pay their student loan. They can't pay that Parent PLUS loan. You're on the hook for it. They can take a good portion of your Social Security to be able to pay that. They can take your bank account balance. That's right. So if you owe $20,000 and you have $5,000 in your savings account and $1,000 in your checking account, they can take $6,000, put that against your your debt, you don't have food money. You don't have, you can't pay your bills for that month while you go to work. This is a major, major issue. And the federal government has done this in the past, and I would expect that they will do it again. The Trump administration made it very, very clear that they are going to be as hard as what the law allows them to be able to collect these balances and garnish wages. What do I mean by that? It means that, well, you made $2,000, they take $500 of it, you get your check for that week at $1,500, and they take that $500 when they garnish until you have paid off that debt. It is a big deal if it's only a couple of times because you need that money. But more importantly, what happens if you owe that $40,000? That would be 80 paychecks at $500, not including interest. And by the way, you're paying default interest at that point. Most of the default rates go to states. Wisconsin, 21.9%. So you have a major problem, because you're paying $700 a month in default rates, you know, at that point. It never even gets the opportunity to be able to do it, to be able to bring the balance down anything that is substantial. Also, let's go back. The student, now, because it is in repayment, even if they're paying it, it's going to go against their debt-to-income ratio. This is, for a home, what we call the 28-36 rule. 28%, the maximum amount that you should pay on your home from your income is 28%. So if you make $2,000 a month, 26% is $560 a month. Your PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, should not be more than that $560. Then there's the 36 rule. And this is where it comes in with the student loan. 36% is all of your bills together do not make more than 36% of your entire income. Let's go back to that $2,000. So $720 is where we would be looking at. So if you were looking at the 28-36, it would be on $2,000 a month. It would be $560 for your home. Try to do that. And it would be $720 for your total debt structure. That includes your home. So that would be, what, $160 in addition to your house. Well, the average student loan is $536. You no longer qualify for that house. What else don't you qualify? You don't qualify for a car. You don't qualify for a credit card. That $536 average student loan payment is a huge... It is going to affect this economy substantially over the last, over a number of years. By the way, I should tell you, junior college debt, the average, remember, $40,000 is for a four-year, $12,794 for junior college. Number one, it's only 2 years. Number two, they charge less. So, you know, don't worry or don't think that you shouldn't go to a junior college. The big thing with a junior college is their ability to transfer credits if you wish to be able to transfer them to a four-year school. Make sure before you do it. Other than that, it's a great deal to be able to go to a junior college and be able to have that opportunity. The last thing I want to take this opportunity to talk about is, how do you know to start paying? So there is something called, it's called your student loan servicer. Write this down, mom and dad, because this is big for the kids. You're going to go to federalstudentaid.gov, federalstudentaid.gov, and you're going to help Johnny start automatic payments. I can't say this enough. Student loans can stop them from getting a job. If they have a job with the government, it can cause them to lose their job. If they have a security clearance, they will lose that security clearance. If you work for a bank, every year they pull your credit at a bank. If they see that you've defaulted on a student loan, there's a good chance you don't have a job because you work, anybody working with money, they don't want you to have a moral crisis where you are more likely to be able to steal something or more likely to steal something. The last thing I want to talk about is where do we go from here? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go to school, you should be able to, but we have to be cognizant about student loans and the payment and the repercussions that are lifelong while we do it. I don't have the answers for you. I wish I did. I have some ideas. You know, could we take and look and say, it depends how much you can borrow, depends on what your major is? I'm not real big on that from the standpoint that the last number I saw, 5% of people work inside their major. So if you're not working inside your major, you may be able to get a great job making a lot of money outside of your major, which would allow you to be able to pay it. But you have to know what that means. The problem I have with that is we're dealing with an 18-year-old. Do 18-year-olds understand money? The answer is no. Do they understand the repercussions? Most of you listening, we were 18 once. I want you to think back about the decisions that you were making when you were 18 years old. And how many of those decisions were good and how many weren't. This decision will lead to a lifelong change, for good or bad, and at the same time, it will affect the United States economy for those number of years, for good or for bad. I'm going to leave you with that, and now we're going to, well, I should tell everybody, you're listening to Education Matters. I'm Bob Hagerty. Going to bring in Kurt Klingenmeyer. Hey, Kurt. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Bob, for having me. Great seeing you again.
You as well. You may recognize the voice. He's the fight sensei, Kurt Klingenmeyer, when we do a boxing for sports, or we've done MMA. We've done a number of different things. He owns three schools, karate schools. Shorei Ryu is the type of karate, if you're interested. First of all, congratulations. That's impressive. We're here, though, to talk about education. You have a master's in education, in music.
Yeah, actually, I do. I have my bachelor's degree was in music education that I did at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. I graduated in 2000, I think it was. And then I did my master's degree in music education down in Vandercook, down in Chicago.
And you taught in Racine for a long time.
I did. So I was teaching elementary school band and orchestra for 10 years. So I taught at Schulte Elementary, Fratt, Dr. Jones, Winslow. And then I'd basically go to a school a day. I was in charge of recruiting the orchestra students and the band students and starting them completely from scratch, taking them all the way through their first or second year of instrumental music, and then getting them enrolled in middle school band and orchestra.
Which I always think gave your karate kids a leg up because you already knew how to teach?
Yeah, that's quite often, just like in any topic, you know, whether it's you can be gymnastics, you can be baseball, wrestling, martial arts, dance. Just because you can perform at a very high level doesn't mean that you know how to teach said subject at a high level. It's really two different types of things. Now, would you, of course, want to learn from the best gymnast in the world? Absolutely. But just because you may be the best gymnast in the world doesn't mean that they know how to get you from one level to the next level just because they succeeded at that high level. So it's really a double-edged sword that way.
Let's talk about extracurricular activities.
Yep.
And by the way, full disclosure, my kids, all five, and my wife took lessons.
Yes,
from you.
And I think your wife was the most brutal out of all of
yes,
them.
Yes, she was. She broke a guy's nose. We're not going there. I know my kids truly enjoyed it. But beyond that, I think that this type of extracurricular activity really helped them in concentration, especially my boys. Thoughts?
Anytime that we're getting our kids involved in activities, it's if we don't have our youth involved in things, they will start getting involved in things that you don't want them to be involved with. So anytime that we can get them out in front of role models and give them a pathway to success, you want that foundation in any kid. You want your child to know that they can succeed and that there's a roadmap from it. If the only thing that they know how to do is go on their tablet and go on YouTube or play video games, that's kind of tough. Now, is that the easier road? Absolutely it is. But if we give our kids a pathway to success and show them that they can achieve at a high level, it gives them that success and that bench strength and those benchmarks to go ahead and be confident enough to move into careers as they get older.
I'm going to stop you very quickly there. Yours confidence. I mentioned the with my boys, I don't think it was so much confidence. They were confident to begin with. They needed that physical exertion. I had two girls that learned from you. That confidence that they were able to achieve was really important. And I bring this up because we live in a world that sometimes girls aren't given the opportunity to be able to gain that type of confidence that affects all of their life.
I think there's one word that sums up everything, and it's grit. There is a beautiful TED Talk that's out there. It's one of the most watched TED Talks out there. And it's them going through and looking into the background of hundreds of thousands of people who would be quote-unquote successful. And she says in this TED Talk that it gets tough talking about, okay, what is success? Because there's so many different definitions of success. But looking at everyone, they broke it down by demographics. They broke it down to income, to area, color, religion, everything. And what they found was the truly most successful people in their said areas all had what they couldn't really quantify, and that was grit. And they talked about grit and developing grit and what was the definition of grit. And she said that really what grit is, it's being able to overcome obstacles in life. And the only way that you learn how to overcome obstacles is by overcoming obstacles and developing that confidence, that toughness. And that's what we want to make sure that kids have, that they're able to develop grit that way. I actually had an elementary school reach out to me here in Kenosha, and we were doing some fundraising for them. And the principal had said, you know, I have this theme. And he had actually said, you know what, there's this great TED Talk. And I said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And we started talking about that, and he had said that, yeah, you know, kids today, they don't have that mental toughness. They need to develop grit. So what we did was we kind of tweaked our program that we were doing with them just to make sure that we included that. And it really came down to three things: tough, strong, focused. So when we were teaching this little martial arts fundraiser with them, we would say we would have a call.
And we're going to come back to that, by the way, because I think this is really an interesting idea that you provide. So go ahead.
We would make sure that the kids did almost a call and response. And this isn't something that I came up with. I mean, just truth be told, it was when I went to a Tony Robbins workshop and saw that there were these different call and responses, and it really got in your head after a while. And it was all positive. And so we would do these call and responses between doing some punches and kicks with these elementary school kids. The kids would repeat, "I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm focused, I got grit." And they would thump their chest like three times, you know, "I got grit." And we would dive into that a little bit with them. But then the principal said, yes, this is what every child needs to have. They need to be tough, they need to be strong, they need to be focused, and they need to have grit. And it was a great little lesson for these kids.
I love all of that. Focus, academically, it really spills over. I mean, again, I can only talk about my children, but they were better in school because they learned to focus. If they looked and said, "Oh, I can't memorize that," I said, "How long is the kata that you just..." And a kata is it's an imaginary fight where you're not hitting anybody. It's almost like a dance routine, for lack of a better term.
It is. So what a kata or a form would be different blocks, punches, and kicks that are set in a prearranged pattern of techniques. And what that kata does is it teaches timing, balance, and technique throughout that. So we use that as a teaching tool. But, yeah, we're talking 20, 30, 40, 50 techniques that you have to be able to put together. And that
In order.
It's not just a make them up as you go.
So they tell me they can't spell a word, but they can remember 50 techniques in a row. Are they choosing not to do the work to be able to have the remember?
My wife would call that selective memory.
Yes.
I get accused of that a little bit, and I'm sure nobody else out there has ever...
By the way, his wife also has a graduate degree in education.
She does. She has a bachelor's in education, English education, and then also a master's degree.
Right. So, okay. So we've got roughly 10 minutes. Let's talk about fundraising, because you bring a really unique perspective. I know it's more than 10 years you've been doing this.
Oh, I think it's probably pushing 15 at this point.
And you started it in Racine. I believe you've done it in Oak Creek. Have you done it down in Kenosha?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, this last school year was our first time that we had done some fundraising in Kenosha.
Okay. So give them an idea, and I know, of how much money you've raised over that period of time.
Yeah, it's a little on the ridiculous side. So we're talking over $90,000 we've raised for local elementary schools. And do we work with middle and high schools? We tend not to, just because there's such a need for elementary schools, and that's kind of our niche when it comes to fundraisers like this. So we have two different ones that we do. One, actually, I'm going to be going to a bunch of schools here in Kenosha and Racine and Oak Creek here this next week and dropping off several hundred dollars worth of checks. So what we do at our martial arts schools is we will have a little fundraiser. We'll call it a kickathon. And these kids will go out, these martial arts students of ours, so these are karate students of ours, they'll go out and get pledges, like a penny per kick or a flat donation, to see how many karate kicks they can do in 30 minutes. Now, we're talking ages 4 to,
right,
you know, all the way up as you want to go. And these kids are going to do anywhere from 500 kicks to 1,500 kicks in 30 minutes. It's crazy. So when we tell the kids, hey, look, go on, get the pledges or sponsors, or I said, make sure it's like a penny per kick. Don't ask for a quarter. Okay,
right. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, don't ask grandma for a quarter a kick. You know, we want to make sure it's like a penny or a flat donation. Now there are
take grandma's social security.
No, absolutely. So what we'll do then with that is we will take all the proceeds that are raised, and we will donate 100% of it back to that kid's elementary, middle, or high school. And these kids are raising anywhere from maybe like $50 to like $500-$600. So we've taken those checks. Now, out of our pocket, out of my pocket from the karate schools, we will go ahead and print up like a big, you know, 4x6, like corrugated board, like a big check.
Sure.
Like a publisher's clearinghouse check. So we'll walk up to the school, ring the doorbell at the school, walk on in, and the response we get from the secretaries is, did someone just win publisher clearinghouse?
Sure.
And so we'll go in and we take some big pictures and stuff, and then we cut the check and we give it right to the school. I've had school principals say, especially this time of the year, that you can't believe the impact that this has, because around March, April, May, budgets are gone.
Right.
I had at Dr. Jones Elementary, I had one principal tell me, look, I have no money for our fifth grade graduation. I don't have money for cake, balloons, streamers, certificates, awards. I have nothing, and we got 3 months left of school. This completely will save our year. So that's one of the fundraisers that we do, and I never know what school I'm going to go to.
Right.
Now, with our other fundraisers that I was talking about, the chance, tough, strong focus, I got grit, what we'll do is we'll do a four-class or like a four-week character education program at the elementary school. And we'll do this either after school or during the school day. And where if a kid wants to participate in this, it's $25 for four classes. I mean, at $25, that's easy, okay? Heck, I just went to my daughter just won Miss Teen Kraut Festival.
Right, I saw that.
This last weekend. And
congratulations, Ava.
Oh, she is absolutely thrilled. And we went out for, ice cream afterwards. It was more than $25 we spent on it. So,
right.
So $25, the kids get to come in. We go to their elementary school, do four classes, and we're going to teach some basic punches, some blocks, some kicks, and we have these different lessons that we have throughout. So week one is all about confidence. Week two is about focus. Week three is about self-discipline, and week four is goal setting. Just a little mat chat that we'll have throughout. And that elementary school will keep 100% of the proceeds, all $25. So this isn't like a pizza fundraiser where the school keeps 10%.
Right, and I say, the money's not going to you then. It's a fundraiser for the school.
Correct. So we don't touch it. Everything goes through their front office. So the elementary school will keep every nickel. And so we've had schools raise anywhere from, $700 all the way up to like $3,000-$4,000, where the school principal has said, geez, Kurt, you got like half of our students, in this gym. And the schools have said it is the easiest fundraiser and the most profitable fundraiser that they have. Now, afterwards, we will host a graduation at our karate school where all the kids get to break a little karate board. They earn their white belt then. We have some pizza afterwards. And again, that's all on my dime, because I know that if we want to be a benchmark in the community, we have to do stuff for our community. And we find that since I kind of have a – look, when I was a teacher, my last year was 2010. I don't really know many teachers that are still teaching from when I left teaching.
Sure.
And that's okay. So when I say that, yeah, I know how the elementary schools work, I just know that there's a dire need for funds, especially in the last portion of the school year, and principals are looking for something like this that teaches tough, strong, focused, and getting these kids to have some tough grit.
So, I mean, you've had hundreds of students share a little bit. I mean, you took the karate team to Augsburg, Denmark. They took the bronze, by the way, at the youth games.
They did. I remember the comment from the it was a 2-day. Well, first of all, the Alberg Youth Games was like a mini Olympics. So they would bring in, they would invite all of the sister cities they had throughout the world. So we had, you know, Spain, Mexico, United States, Russia. You know,
of course, Russia was the national team.
Russia brought their players.
Right.
And I remember talking to the sister city committee organizer on after everything was done. And they said, hey, was there anybody there on day one? I said, no, it was kind of a ghost town. It was just all the competition. And I said, but there are no fans or anybody watching. They said, how about day two? I said, oh, it was packed day two. They said, do you have any idea why? I said, oh, I don't know. And they said, look, I heard all sorts of rumors about the United States team, that you had the smallest guy and the two biggest ones, and the smallest one was the toughest out of anybody there, and that you guys were steamrolling through people. He said, is that true? Yeah, that's kind of what happened. So, yeah, we had an amazing experience out in Aalborg, Denmark. That was a great time.
But the reason I brought that up is another example of how it can change lives. Just not karate, but sports and extracurriculars in general. What I found is kids that are successful tend to be successful as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think it all comes back to that TED Talk. You've developed that toughness, that confidence, that focus, that discipline. Everything all points to developing that grit. And if you have that type of grit, which is all those different things, and you're able to overcome different challenges, yeah, you're going to be able to do that in just in adult life as well. If you've never had to overcome things growing up, even if you're the best bookworm in school, you know, your grades came really easy for you, and academics is your thing, if you didn't have something that pushed you and helped you develop that mental toughness, that grit, being an adult gets tough if you don't have that.
Well, yeah, you have to learn to be able to get back up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
If they're interested in fundraising, how do they get a hold of you?
All they got to do is reach out to one of our championship martial arts locations and ask for me, ask for Kurt, and just say that, hey, I would be interested in one of those kick butt fundraisers where you raise, like, you know, $1,000 to $3,000 for. They'll put you in touch with me, and we can get a program going first of this next school year.
Education Matters. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
I'm Len Iaquinta, the inaugural host of the new WGTD program, Civic Affairs, premiering Saturday, May 17th at 10 a.m. It's not politics. We're talking civic affairs, how government works, how to get involved, how to run for office, why it's important. My first guest is the Honorable Peter Barca. I'll ask why he started in government and politics, how to do it, and why you should consider getting engaged. That's on Civic Affairs, Saturday, May 17th at 10 a.m. and the third Saturday of each month.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, linking employers and nonprofits with people in need of either jobs or resources is the aim of the third annual Success Fair, to be held Friday, June 13th at the Kenosha County Job Center. Interested employers and nonprofits can register at KenoshaUnitedWay.org.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, a day after Mother's Day, we are replaying for the first time since its initial airing back in 2011, my conversation with Shilpi Samaya Gowda, author of a remarkable novel called Secret Daughter, a novel which touches on the complex issues of adoption, clash of cultures, and balance of work and family. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Carthage is expanding its offering of summer camps and clinics for K-12 students. They range in length from 1 to 5 days and include commuter or residential options. More info at carthage.edu.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now,